Praise be Jesus and Mary. We heard two pearls of wisdom in today's first reading, taken from the beginning of the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. The first pearl is that we hear very clearly what God's will is for us. The apostle says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. The Greek word that St. Paul uses here is hagiosmos, which means holiness, sanctification, or consecration. So God's will for us is to become more and more like Him in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, in our souls, and in our bodies as well. The same apostle says, Romans 8:29, that God has predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son, meaning that God's plan, His will, is, again, to make us more and more like Christ Himself. Every so often I'll ask people in the confession if they know what God's plan is for their life, and often I'll get the answer, no. A lot of people don't know. Well, here it is in these two verses, 1 Thessalonians 4, 3, that God wills our sanctification, and Romans 8, 29, that God plans to make us a living reflection of His Son. That's the target God wants us to aim at in this life. If we want to know what God's specific plan for us is, I suggest that we do what Jesus says in Matthew 7, verses 7 through 8. The other pearl of wisdom is found in today's first reading, that God says also not only what His plan is for us, but He also tells us how we can oppose His plans for us. It's by embracing sexual immorality. The Greek word that St. Paul uses for that is porneia, which encompasses all forms of illicit sexual pleasure. We know God designed sexual activity as something good to be enjoyed within the bounds of a stable, long, lifelong partnership, i.e. marriage. Outside of the bonds of marriage, sexual pleasure becomes a god unto itself, so much so that the worship of porneia leads to even more tragic realities, as we know. For one, it leads to viewing children, the greatest gift that comes from the union of a man and a woman. It leads to viewing them as a burden or a curse or an obstacle to one's own personal gratification, which is where contraception comes into play. When contraception fails, the worship of porneia leads to the sacrifice of about a million children each year in our country alone, through abortion and infanticide. There is hope, of course, in healing for those who have committed such sins, but it requires a change of heart and a change of gods as well, turning from false gods to the true God who desires nothing but our good and our sanctification, who's a God of hope and a God of healing, not a God of despair and destruction. Those who embrace sins against human sexuality typically don't understand either sin or love. They don't understand sin because they often believe that they know better than God as regards to what's good and right for them. They see the church's laws on sexuality as oppressive and unreasonable, like a child who sees their parents' rules as oppressive and unreasonable, even when in reality the parents' rules are there to protect the child and to help him to become more mature and responsible. The child doesn't see it that way. They also don't understand love either, because love is willing the good for someone else, whereas all forms of porneia have at their root not love, but selfishness and selfish pleasure. Where selfishness dominates, love cannot grow. That's what I often will tell people in the confessional, especially if they're married. You know, love can only grow in a marriage, for example, where there's a spirit of service and sacrifice between the spouses, where there's a spirit of selfishness, where it's, I'm always focusing on what I want or how I feel or what I think things should be, or I want to get things my own way, or rehearsing the wrongs that have been done to me over and over again in my mind. And where that spirit of selfishness predominates, love diminishes, and at times it even vanishes completely. So an essential part of growing in holiness is learning to be in control of our passions. The Apostle Paul says that it's God's will that each of us, quote, knows how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like heathen who do not know God. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 4 through 5. That's the RSV version. When our passions are in control of us, rather than us being in control of our passions, that's when we get into a heap of trouble. If we learn to control our passions rather than being controlled by them, then we will live and we will have the freedom of the children of God. That goes for any passion, by the way, whether it's the desire for pleasure or emotions of anger or fear. We need to learn to allow the Lord to be in control of us, not our passions. Our culture has chosen porneia over agiasmos. It's chosen to see and to treat people as objects to satisfy their own carnal pleasure, rather than seeing and treating people as human beings with dignity and with intrinsic worth, created in the image and likeness of God. So when a culture embraces porneia, what happens? Human life becomes cheapened to the point where you'll have thinkers like Jean-Paul Sartre who will say that man is nothing more than a useless passion, to quote the famous French existential philosopher. What a sad philosophy. And a philosophy really of no hope and of a philosophy of despair as well. In fact, it was the same Jean-Paul Sartre in one of his famous plays, No Exit, another famous quote of his. At the end of the play, he has one of the characters say that hell is other people. Hell is other people. Those are the tragic words of someone who's already experiencing a foretaste of eternal separation from God, from the God of hagiosmos, the God of holiness. And Jean-Paul Sartre was well known for living a very immoral lifestyle as well. God puts before us the choice either to embrace hagiosmos or to embrace porneia, either to deny ourselves momentary, illicit, fleeting pleasure, or to be denied God's grace and be denied entrance into the kingdom of heaven. The choice is really to embrace the light or to embrace the darkness. May Our Lady, the Virgin Most Pure, help us to make the wise choice and to pray for those who continue to make the wrong choice in this life. Praise be Jesus and Mary.